If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
Some of you may know that I grew up in a family business run by my dad, a grocery store, but it had a butcher shop. It was known far and wide on the Southwest side, and I know that quality means something, and that's why we drive 2 hours from Northwest Indiana all the way to the Northwest side of the city of Chicago to Joseph's Finest Meats at 7101 West Addison Street. Before you go there, you got to be prepared, so I've got a list for you. Do you have a pen? Italian sausage, hot. Italian sausage, mild. Get pork chops, but order them thick. And of course, get some beef too, like bone-in ribeye steaks. Nothing like it. And if you don't know exactly what to get or how to cook it, ask Ben or Sal and tell them John Cass sent you. And I'd like to tip my hat to Joseph, the patriarch, the owner, the founder who built this store for his family with his two sons, Ben and Sal. In his mid-90s, he had serious heart surgery and he made a triumphant return. He loves his place, and I do too. And so does anyone who shops there. It's like family. They care about the details. They care about you. Joseph's Finest Meats, 7101 West Addison Street, Chicago. A family tradition since 1977, and a proud sponsor of John Cass News and the Chicago Way podcast. Things go full circle. Everything in the world happens like that. I was just talking to our guest, Tom Morrison, Illinois conservative. I was going to Hillsdale College, and I was so excited, and I had a lot of pressure on me when I was going to deliver a lecture in the same place that my hero, Victor Davis Hanson, had spoken and many other great professors. I was talking about the collapse of the legacy media. And then I came home and I was full of glory. Like my own head was swollen so large, probably didn't even fit on the plane. And then came a stroke. And I've been working hard to get through it. And I've just finished my first column back, doing this podcast as part of my therapy. And Tom Morrison was instrumental in my delivery of what I think was a decent lecture. And he's now here on the Chicago Way. And I want to talk to him about America's 250th birthday and what happens, what should we think, and how do we inspire young people to reach for America, the America that we remember, that I remember, that you remember, and all of you remember. And how do we accomplish that, Tom Morrison? With Jeff Carlin, my longtime friend and co-host here, executive producer, WGN Radio, friend of cats, baker of pies. And me, I'm John Cass, editor of John Cass News, the only place where you're going to get a good cup of Midwestern common sense, just $50 a year. And where are you with 800,000 Republicans once in Illinois, and now we're down to 500,000? And our friend Dan Proft is pilloried in the pages of a newspaper I used to work for. You're on the Chicago Way podcast on WGN Plus.
So this is a guy who lives high on the hog, and he has this Tammany Hall style attitude to power. And it's the Chicago Way, absolutely.
Look, the Chicago Way is a deep cultural phenomenon.
It's the Chicago Way.
The Chicago Way, that's the focus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man. There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
As promised, our friend Tom Morrison, former state rep of the 54th District, he's remained active as a speaker and political advocate, but maintains his own professional identity through his businesses and consulting. Tom Morrison, we've had a lot of conversations, you and I, about the nature of conservative politics in Illinois. Welcome to the Chicago Way.
Yeah, John, Jeff, it's my honor to be on with you. Thank you.
Yeah, Tom, thanks for joining us. My old stomping grounds, northwest suburbs of Chicago and in Illinois here. Glad to have you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, my district was in northwest Cook County. I served for six terms, and most people were shocked that a conservative like me, or, you know, with a voting record like mine, could hold a seat in Cook County. And it was not easy. It required working hard and smart, but I held on to that, and I'm trying to inspire other people to do likewise.
Tom, it wasn't just the Democrats who were giving you grief. The Republicans also, these combine weasels, they didn't like you either, but you stood true. Why did you continue to take the punishment?
Well, I felt a duty and a responsibility to myself, to my family, to my community, to fellow small business owners. And that's what motivated me to run in the very first place. And so, I know this might sound corny, but when I would go down to Springfield, I would try to visualize the constituents that I had met on the campaign trail, doors that I'd knocked, conversations that I'd had on doorsteps and in various places in my district, Palatine, Rolling Meadows, Inverness, Barrington, Hoffman Estates. And just remember, I'm representing them when I'm down there. So I just would strongly encourage other people who are thinking about getting involved to take that bold step and do it.
How easy is that going to be with a 5,000-pound gorilla who self-funds his campaigns? I don't know how much money J.B. Pritzker has spent, but I think it's in the upwards of, what, $200 million on his own?
Way more, yeah. That was just one race.
No. Yeah, no, we're approaching double that.
Yeah.
I mean, if you count what he has spent on his own races,
yeah,
and then what he has spent helping others. And then the other thing that a lot of people forget is, as you know, there's a built-in machinery, primarily with the public and the private sector unions. And then also you have trial lawyers and you have different activist groups that are well-funded. And if those groups are not spending money on the top of the ticket, then they have funds to free up to support the battleground races that exist every cycle. And the other thing that I experienced that was pretty jarring was to have other representatives or senators who did not have competitive races in November. Now, all of a sudden, they were writing $60,000, $70,000 checks to my opponent, you know, because I had the audacity to call some of them out down in Springfield or to try to support opponents in their district. So they kind of took it out on me when I had two hot races, really hot races in my last two elections, 2018 and 2020. So to that point, you know, is money everything? No, it isn't. Money can be a lot, but you just have to figure out a way to work harder and smarter and play to your advantages. You know, money clearly is not on your side, but there's other things that you can do to be effective. I mean, you guys know you have the two camps. You have the hardcore Republicans. They will only vote Republican no matter what. You have the hardcore Democrats. They're going to only vote Democrat. There is a fairly large and growing sector of the voters that do not identify with either party. And they're persuadable, but you have to talk to them. And you can't just rely on expensive TV ads or digital ads. You've got to do the face to face. And so that's how I won my very first election. And that's how I was able to stay in office. And that's my message to others who are thinking about getting involved.
Every Jodcast news column starts with an idea. that is watered by a good cup of coffee. That search for the perfect cup is where my love of coffee and writing began. And that perfect cup comes from Kribi Coffee, K-R-I-B-I Coffee, roasted locally in Chicago. Kribi's latest offering is Big Bloom, with sweet floral brightness and berry notes. This Ethiopian blend is the perfect spring cup of coffee. And because it's air roasted, it's never bitter, you can enjoy that moment savoring the backyard, your garden, or your kitchen window. Bloom in a 12-ounce bag. Or try the Kribi Tasting Trio, featuring Mount Oku Light Roast, Piper Slap, Dark Roast, and Big Bloom. As always, Kribi Coffee offers roast level and grind that are fully customizable for all coffees online or in the cafe. Kribi also gives back by supporting African coffee farmers and creating jobs in Chicago's North Lawndale neighborhood through their new roastery. You can order at kribicoffee.com. It's perfect for Easter, Mother's Day, or a thoughtful just because. Or any coffee lover. You stop by in a beautiful April morning or May morning, you might want to bring a coffee cake, and you got the Kribi Coffee. That's the way to slow down the mind and be ready to meet the day. Carpe diem with Kribi Coffee, a proud sponsor of John Cass News and the Chicago Way Podcast. Kribi Coffee, K-R-I-B-I Coffee.com. Cheers.
I mean, local politics is a great thing. And I mean, you want to be involved. It's a smaller group of people you have to convince, so that helps.
Yeah.
And then you're right, money doesn't really necessarily make that an easier job, depending. If you have a lot of money, it can make it an easy job. But when we're talking, you know, thousands of dollars versus the $5 million that Pritzker laid into Juliana Stratton's campaign to just essentially make that her race, I mean,
yeah,
that's you can't go up against that, obviously.
I thought she made that race up by herself with her amazing vocabulary that was F and U.
That was so shameful. It was so shameful. And you know what? So I know you slam the paper quite a bit.
Because of what they've done to my party.
No, I understand. I understand. But let me just share something with you that when I saw that ad, I was disgusted by it. I was encouraged to see multiple letters to the editor in the Tribune slamming that ad, and those letter writers all identified themselves as Democrats, and they just said, is this really what our politics has come to?
Yeah.
And so, you know, good for the Tribune for printing those, but I think that sentiment is out there that you know, just because she won doesn't necessarily mean that now that's where the majority of the public is.
Oh yeah, I mean, the polling was showed heavily against her, and so that the money spend changed that. I mean, there's no doubt. And there's no doubt she was not a name, you know, candidate that people are going to pick up unless without Pritzker, you know, essentially buying the campaign, buying the whole race. I mean, there was no way she was going to move past that number. And it's sucks, right? I mean, you're going up against this and you're, like you said, making common sense arguments, trying to be, you know, a middle of the road.
Was that money from the Grand Cayman Islands or was it from the, from the Bahamas?
Who's asking, Jen?
I mean,
no, it was in a manila envelope under the floorboard. Is that what it was?
You know, so we've been talking about statewide, but I want to really stress, and this is why I reached out to you, John, that we have to recapture an understanding of an appreciation for the local and state politics that has a much bigger impact on our day-to-day lives, our quality of life, our livelihoods.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much attention on the federal races or what's happening in Washington. But again, what is happening right in our neighborhoods, our communities, and the states too. But you can have a far bigger impact at the local level than most people realize. And so that's what I'm really trying to preach hard and recapture that.
Yeah. And John, so it's the table, because we talked a little bit about this with a little earlier before we got on here, but the you guys connected on the Hillsdale thing. You mentioned it kind of in the open, John, but tell us your history there, because I know it for John, it was such an honor to be there, and it was a great speech. I mean, that presentation was everybody should read it. I think if it's on John's website, But that kinship there, and talk a little bit about what it is like to become part of the fraternity of those who have attended and those who presented.
Yeah, it's funny. So I grew up in the North Suburbs, and I wanted to actually go into radio. Again, this is why I so admire you guys, and I'm a fan of the show and what you guys have done in your careers. So I grew up loving radio. And in high school, I wanted to become the next Paul Harvey. That was really my dream.
I love that.
So when I was thinking about going off to school, thinking of broadcasting or going to a school to really learn the craft a little bit better, I was looking at maybe going to a Big Ten school. I didn't have the grades to get into U of I, which is kind of funny. So I was looking at Big Ten schools. And then my parents said, "Hey, have you considered Hillsdale College?" I had never heard of Hillsdale. I mean, it's a small school. At the time, there was only 1,200 students on campus. I think now there's around 1,300 or 1,400. So it's a small liberal arts school. And they said, "Oh, well, Congressman Phil Crane," there's a name from the past.
Yeah.
"He's a graduate of Hillsdale." And I knew a little bit about Phil Crane. And I thought, "Oh, okay, well, I'll check it out." And so I went to college night at our high school, and Hillsdale had a rep there. And then I did an on-campus visit, an overnight stay, and I got to attend some classes. And then I told my parents, "This is where I want to be. It is such a special place. The professors, it's the students." John, you got to experience that. There's a sign on the outskirts of Hillsdale, Michigan. It says, "Hillsdale, it's the people." And it is such a slice of America that you just rarely get to experience. It's like a Frank Capra movie almost.
With all this that's going on that our listeners understand, with the left encroaching upon all the universities and all the institutions, with the anger and animosity and screaming that's going on from left to right, Hillsdale represents to me like a great university in a walled city in the dark ages before, as the barbarians and the Visigoths and everyone were killing each other. And Hillsdale is the place of civility.
Yeah. Their stature has grown exponentially since I was there. So when I was there, it was seen as a good Midwestern liberal arts school. Right. It had a conservative reputation for sure. You know, like I mentioned, Phil Crane, and there were a handful of other people that had gone through. There was known as, leaning conservative for sure.
But nothing like special. It was like Elmhurst College or something like that. It was on that level. And then what happened? How did the university grow to what it is now?
Just in contrast to what is served up in academia today. And it is, for decades, as universities and colleges have skewed to the left, but it has just gone so far to the extreme in just the last 20 or 30 years. And I think that makes Hillsdale shine ever more brightly.
Yes.
And so it's a lot harder to get into now. I don't think I could get in today. So that's a good thing. And again, as its stature has grown, its notoriety has grown, some of your listeners may get in Primus, which is their monthly speech digest.
Yes.
When I was on campus, the circulation of that was around probably 250,000. And I think they're approaching 7 million now.
Yeah.
So, and the online offerings that they have, those did not exist, obviously. First time I got an email address when I was a student on campus. But so just to wrap up my story. So when I was telling my high school friends that I was going to Hillsdale and, some of their parents, and the funny reaction was, "Hinsdale? Is there a college in Hinsdale?" Yeah. And I'd say, "No, Hillsdale. Hillside? Never mind. Okay. So anyway, but I just had a wonderful experience there. I studied history. I studied communications. I worked off campus at a couple of radio stations, one in town and one about 40 miles away, and doing news radio, announcing, pursuing my dream of one day going into broadcasting.
Well, you're in it now. You're doing it now.
Yeah. Thanks to you guys. But the neat thing was coming out of that, I briefly pursued broadcasting. I had a brief internship at WGN News, which was the internship of a lifetime, meeting sure. many of my heroes, Wally Phillips and Spike O'Dell and the news guys, Tom Peterson, guys that you would know. Yeah. So maybe some of your listeners know Lyle Dean.
Sure.
And it was just awesome. Wes Bleed became a mentor of mine. And getting Orion Samuelson and Max Armstrong.
Yeah. How about Professor Milton Rosenberg?
Do you know, I only met him in passing, and my great regret was that one night he interviewed Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher.
Yeah.
And I missed the opportunity to just hang around at the station and get to meet and speak with her, you know. But right. But it was just awesome. The Democratic Convention was held in 1996, and so I got to go there and be on the floor and just kind of experience yeah. that. So to kind of wrap up that story, I did pursue broadcasting a little bit, and then I just decided it was not for me. My mom had actually passed away when I was at Hillsdale. My dad had, okay, John, you had just had a stroke. My dad had just had a stroke, and I just so missed being home. And so I just decided, you know what, I'm going to go home and then just pursue a different course. And so I left that. I ended up going into teaching in 2009. I left teaching after 6 years. I partnered with my brother in a disaster cleanup franchise business. So we became franchisees of ServPro, and which is another little funny story when I actually ran for office. But I was doing that for a few years. And in 2009, Rod Blagojevich, first of all, we were going into a recession. Barack Obama was in his first year of the presidency and was pushing all kinds of, you know, far left stuff from Obamacare. You know, go on down the list. Rod Blagojevich had just been impeached. Sure. And I mean, just things, the economy was in a tailspin. Things were just in such a huge mess. And I watched that Rick Santelli rant. Okay, you remember that from 2009? He says sure. it's about time we had a modern day tea yeah. party on April 15th in 2009. And so I decided I'm going to take a day off of work. I'm going to bring my family. We're going to make up some signs in our basement. And I took my family. I had two young children at the time. So my wife and two kids, we got on the train. We went down to that tea party rally. And on the train going down, so there was a Cubs game that day. So on the Metra, you had the regular commuters, you know, then you had a bunch of people wearing Cubs paraphernalia. And then you had another third of the passengers with handmade signs. Okay. I happened to sit next to a couple who also had, you know, a small sign. And, you know, we looked at each other, total strangers, and said, oh, I guess we're going to the same place. So why are you going down there? Turned out to be a couple from Poland. And they said, we escaped communism. We know how this movie ends. We've lived through this. And if America goes down, where else is there to go? So we have to fight for our country. And so I got off the train and blocks away from Federal Plaza. You know, John, you were still at the Tribune. I don't know if you remember this like I do. But you could hear the crowds blocks away. I mean, there were thousands of people there in Federal Plaza. And so, and we were all saying, you know, this is wrong. The federal government taking over whole industries and you know, just what did Barack Obama say? We're going to fundamentally transform the greatest country on earth. That evening, I called my dad and I said, something is going on. I mean, there is really what's happening. I mean, there are people who are rising up and saying enough is enough. And so I started to decide, I think I can run for office. Now, given my ownership in a small business, my young family, I'm not going to run for Congress, but what can I do? Can I run for the state legislature? I mean, that's I think within my wheelhouse.
Right.
We talked about, when we decided to have you on, we talked about how to encourage young people. Your theme to me when I gave that talk at Hillsdale was to encourage the young.
Yeah.
And now I see the young being scattered about because they need a place to grab onto, to hold, and they don't seem to have one.
Yeah.
How do you get them involved in politics?
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at the amazing example of Charlie Kirk.
Yeah.
The first time I met Charlie, I had just gotten elected, but I had not taken office yet. So I want to say that it was in November or December of 2010. I had just gotten elected, and a Tea Party group. Remember the Tea Party? And what is
yeah,
tea?
A simpler
you gotta
time.
Remind people. Tea stands for taxed enough already.
Right.
And so I embrace that moniker, you know, that we are taxed enough already.
I love them.
Yeah. So I was invited to speak to a small group, maybe 15 or 20 people. And the host had also invited some local high school students who were likewise wanting to get young people involved. And so Charlie was there along with a couple of his friends. And so Charlie was given the stage for 10 or 15 minutes to talk about the importance of bringing young people into the discussion. And I remember thinking, okay, this is interesting. You know, young guy getting involved, you know, we should encourage him. And fast forward to September of 2025. Did you guys watch the memorial service that was held?
Yes, I did. I watched everything.
It was one of the most powerful things I think I've ever witnessed. He had worldwide impact and influence. It was, we could spend a whole show talking about Charlie Kirk, but I will say this, that but what an inspiration he is. And the one thing that I'm grateful for, he may be even more influential now, that he's gone because of his martyrdom. And I'm grateful there are thousands and thousands of hours of Charlie engaging with people.
Yes.
Person to person in all kinds of different venues. His team continues to post little quotes and little excerpts of his from his online presence. And, you know, I want to share with you guys a Bible verse. Because after I left broadcasting, I taught fifth grade for 6 years. And at a Christian school, funny story, a Christian school that I had flunked out of when I was younger. and I came back to teach there. Jeff, this, you know, I could talk about teaching, but, so I flunked out of the school as a ninth grader. 10 years later, I was coming back to teach there. But I would share with my students, there's a verse in the book of Proverbs that says, "Do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings, not unknown men." And as I was watching that Charlie Kirk memorial, I was thinking of that verse, that there were world leaders there because Charlie excelled in his work, and just what an impact and influence he had.
That's the thing, right, Tom? I mean, that spark that was in Charlie and has now spread to people beyond because of his influence can be in anybody and should be in anybody in a functional, healthy republic. And as we approach this 250th declaration of "this is us," you know, we're not perfect, but we're going to, yeah, we want to bring that out in everybody, you know, be involved, yeah. Because the easiest way, you know, everyone talks about quick fixes and how much trouble we're in as a republic. John and I do that all the time, and how much, you know, where the cracks are, that's what we do. But we can start patching those cracks easily by just getting involved and going among each other and discussing the things that we disagree on, because there's common ground everywhere. I mean, we can get there. It's just we've let ourselves get strayed.
For sure. But we have to know about civics. So here's what I'm working on now, and what I want your listeners to know about, to consider for themselves, or if not for themselves because of whatever circumstance, to consider other people in their lives who might be good for running for a local or state office. So on my way out the door of the state house, I was hired by the Ozinga family. Some of you may be familiar with the red and white striped concrete trucks. They're a really neat family. They have a nearly 100-year-old history in the state of Illinois. And they're philanthropically minded. So not only are they a great business and well-respected business, but they're philanthropically minded. They understand that good, you know, stronger communities make for a healthier business climate, right? And then also they've been somewhat politically active. Tim Ozinga, who served with me in the Illinois House for a couple of terms, so he's been involved with politics. Their father ran for Congress at one point. So they understand the importance of being involved in the political sphere. So they said to me, "Hey, Tom, you know, the fact that a guy like you could win in Cook County, that's really unusual. And would you be willing to be a mentor to others like you who feel a civic duty to get more involved and to run for office? And would you show them how to do it at scale? Because it's not as easy as it seems. It is really hard. I mean, I'm straight up with people. What you see on TV about a campaign, it's not just balloons and rallies and adoring fans who are, you know, shouting your name and cheering.
Cigars and pinky rings and back rooms.
Right.
Are you going to, why not set up a school?
Well, that's what we did. School. So we put together a program called Candidate Masterclass.
Right.
And trademark that name. And so you can go look that up, candidatemasterclass.com. And what we're doing is really doing a deep, comprehensive dive into the local or state race that has the lowest barrier of entry. This is not an office that requires millions of dollars to run for, or even hundreds of thousands of dollars to run for. Right. You can run this bootstrapping it. If you do your proper research, if you first of all, assess yourself as a candidate. Have I prepared to do this? Am I prepared for what I'm about to do? Am I running for the right position? Sure. If you're interested in foreign policy issues, don't run for the school board.
Right.
don't run for the state legislature. Don't run for city council. Okay. But if you want to make a difference in your local community or for your state, research it, figure out, can I get excited about these issues? Do I have the fire in the belly?
Give us the name of the website again.
It's candidatemasterclass.com. And that's all one word.
Remember it.
So I'm hoping that as America 250 celebrations increase leading up to July 4th, our Independence Day, I just really hope that people think, okay, what did the founders do for us? What kind of sacrifices were they willing to make? Not only the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence. I mean, they literally would have lost their lives. They knew signing that paper was a challenge to the King of England and the most powerful army and navy in the world up to that point. And they made those sacrifices for freedom and for liberty and self-government. And now we are the beneficiaries of that. Will we make those same, not even close to those sacrifices? I mean, we're not even talking about losing our lives over these things. Now, could there be an impact? You know, is it uncomfortable when somebody attacks you personally, or they try to undermine your job or your business or your family in some way? Yeah, we've got to develop a thicker skin and a willingness to go out on a limb a little bit if we're going to preserve this. Because as you guys have talked about repeatedly, you're big fans of Victor Davis Hanson and other guests on your show. I mean, I just happened to look up The Dying Citizen book that Dan Proft mentioned on your show a couple of weeks ago. He says in the intro, citizenship does not just come with rights, it comes with responsibilities.
Absolutely.
And if we're going to maintain this republic, this constitutional republic, it's going to require us to get more involved and get more engaged And for some people, that means running for office. In others, it means supporting those who are going out on a limb and running for office. And again, it's the local and state that has the biggest impact on our day-to-day lives and livelihoods.
He's not running in circles. He's running true north. Thank you, sir, for being here.
Yeah, thanks, Sam.
And everyone, I want you to go to candidatemasterclass.com. It's your country, a republic, if we can keep it, said an old man years ago. Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, guys.
For Tom Morrison of candidatemasterclass.com, for Jeff Carlin, executive producer, WGN Radio, and for me, John Cass, editor of John Cass News, and I'm coming back, maybe a column any day now. Thanks for joining us on this edition of the Chicago Way podcast on WGN Plus.